Thank you. God bless you. Please open up to Matthew 26. I'm really thankful for the privilege to be able to teach, and of course to Nick and to Kim for inviting us and for the wonderful weekend we've had from the tabernacle into the tabernacle and then to the play or the show for Jonah. It was a wonderful time. Well, today I'm going to teach on pray with authority. You know, it was great. Larry taught about praying for other countries and praying for those in authority. And he opened it up to a broad scope. Now I'm going to bring it down to your personal level in your life a little bit. But it's not that narrow-minded. It's still going to branch out and into your communities and things like that. But in Matthew 26, and I love this. I love the boldness of Jesus Christ and how he knew exactly who he was and what he had here. He says in Matthew 26, in verse 53, he says, "Thinkest thou not I cannot pray?" And that word pray, that's that same word in exhort in Timothy, to bring alongside. It's the same word. "That I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels." And we all know that that's 72,000 angels. And he says, don't you know that right now, you know, and the way I think of it is I could just snap my fingers and I got 72,000 angels right there. Well, I would say that that's prayer with authority. I would say that he knows who he is and what he can do and what he can accomplish because of what God told him he is. And then in further on in this same chapter here, verse 54, it says, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Thus it must be." So basically saying that, look, at any time I can get 72,000 angels here and just clear me right out of this thing, but I'm obedient to God and I know that the scripture needs to be fulfilled, so here's what's going to happen. "And in the same hour, Jesus said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out against me as a thief with swords and staffs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temples and you laid not a hand on me." Right? He was there. He's not some kind of thief. He's not some kind of military threat to them at all. And here they come out with staves and clubs and all these things to take this man. He wasn't a man of war. He was a man of peace. He was teaching the word. He's wondering, well, why did you do that? I've been in the temple all these times. You've never been able to take me. And you know why? Because they couldn't. They couldn't. They couldn't. The only reason they can take him is because he let them. Because right here he said, I had 72,000, right there, 72,000 angels. They couldn't take him. It was time for him to fulfill the scriptures at that time. So now he let them. So that's, I would say that's a man with some great authority. I'd say that's pretty authoritative, isn't it? And then, of course, you know, it says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So I just thought I'd just hit you, bam, with that verse right away. Usually you like to build up to that verse, but I just wanted to start right there with that. And I when I was reading this, it just really blessed me because I just saw that, you know, God in Christ, he had the authority. They could have took him any time, but they didn't. Of course, I repeat myself here, but he allowed it. Go to John 19, some more about just the authority that Jesus Christ had. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, of course, we're sons of God, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're to be followers of Jesus Christ, and greater works can we do than he, because he went on to the Father. These things are available to us, too. We can pray with this kind of authority in our life. And later on, we're going to show you some examples and things where it's right there in your own life and in your own personal life, and then even in your communities too. I said John 19, right? Verse 10. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power? And that word power is exousia. He had the power. I have the power to crucify you. That would be pretty disconcerting, wouldn't it? If you're sitting there before some guy and he says, you know what? I have the power to crucify you right now. I have the authority to do that. And I have the power actually to release thee. So he has the exousia to crucify him or to release him, right? And Jesus answers, says, thou could have no power against me except it was given from above. See? Just like in that other verse, he says, look, don't you know that I could just pray the Father right now and I could have 72,000 angels right now at my beck and call? Don't you know that? Guess they didn't. I guess they didn't really read the scriptures very well, did they? He said, no, you don't. You can't crucify me. No, you don't. I will allow it, but you can't do it to me. I would say that was a man that was fully convinced. I shared the other night when we were out by the campfire how that I believe that when the word says that you are of God, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I said, I believe it. I absolutely believe that. And this is the kind of believing, like here you see in Jesus Christ's life, that we can be like that, that we can believe it. No, you're not. No, you can't. Because I have the authority. Like Reverend Panarello taught, they're defeated. They're already defeated. So if you're going up to something that's defeated, you already have an upper hand. I was thinking when you said something about weight class, we outweigh them. There is no weight class because we outweigh them by far. Our spiritual power outweighs them. And then there's some more. Then I wanted to go to Luke 11. Recently, we've been teaching prayer in Beloved of God Ministries. And Larry went through a series of that, and he taught this one section here in Luke 11 when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And we all know that section there, you know, where the churches, of course, now use this, and they just repeat it over and over, and it just becomes a rote prayer, and it's not really a prayer with any kind of authority at this point. But I wanted to jump down a little bit in this because I know you know this section, but in the same context, if you look at Luke 11:9, it says, and I say unto you, ask. That's a form of prayer, right? When we ask to the Father, we ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Right? Do you see any kind of hesitation there? Do you see any type of doubt in there at all? This looks pretty absolute to me. When I read this, I don't see anything that gives me any concern that this might not happen. This is absolute. This shall. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Great way to remember this. We like, in this world, we like acronyms. It's real easy. It's ask. Ask, seek, knock. It's the same. So just always remember ask, and you'll remember the acronym for this verse, ask, seek, knock. Yeah, it's just a little extra tip, the helpful hint I gave you here. Now, even in the same context of this chapter here, where Jesus is teaching them to pray, they said, ask me, you know, teach us how to pray. So if this isn't great enough, that he asks them, that they'll be given to them, they'll seek and they shall find, and knock and it shall be open. Then right here, just one verse down, it says, if a son shall ask bread of you, of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And of course, we know the Eastern Orientalism here, that you know they bake their bread on rocks, so the bread resembled the rock a little bit. So that's why, you know, you think, how stupid can you be? Why would I take a rock from you? If I asked for bread, why would I think that that was a bread? Because they baked their bread on rock, and so it kind of resembled it. And then the other things also, and then the scorpion, of course, was there was a scorpion that looked, when it curled up, it looked like an egg. So that's why it says that. But here's a great thing. This is so neat. It says, if you then being evil, now I'm looking in this room and I've had a whole weekend with all of you, and there's not a one of you that I would call evil, okay? Just so you know. So you, I know you're all relieved now, right? It's not talking about you being evil in the sense that evil. It's talking about you not being on the same moral grounds as God. If you being evil, if you're not on the same moral grounds as God, because, of course, his ways are so much more superior than his. Knowing how to good, and you'll see because of the way the verse unfolds here, knowing how to good give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father, give of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, my wife and I, we have a lot of discussions, and I always tell her, it all just comes down to the playground. You know, when you see things and people have conflicts and everything, it just comes down to the playground. It's just like when you were a kid. It's not any different than when you were 4 or 5 years old playing on the playground at recess and you're dealing with adults. You just have to be a little bit more refined, I guess, and a little more tactful, right? You're not going to pick up dirt and throw it in somebody's eye or something like that and win the argument that way, unless you're like Billy Martin or something like that. But anyway, you know, you don't win that way, right? But still, what I'm saying here is it doesn't change. If you treat your children, you can see how you treat your own children in your own life. You're not going to do these things to your children. You're not going to purposely harm them. You're not going to make them sick so that they can be humble. You know, these things that we hear from some of these churches, it's not going to happen. You're not going to do that, are you? I hope not. Because I just said you weren't evil, okay? Guess if you did that, then I might have to change my mind a little bit. So if you are not on the same moral grounds as God and you do that kind of good things, you pour your hearts out and do good to your children and to your family, how much more our Heavenly Father? And all we have to do is ask him. We just have to pray with that great authority that we have. He has given us so much. You know, I've seen people pray so anemically. You know, they beg God and they ask him, and then they say these things like, oh, be with these people over here. Be with the people in Ethiopia. Well, we just learned that we can make intercession for them. And we know that he'll be with them because the word is a promise to us. When the word says that we can pray for and it exhorts us to do that, to pray for kings and people in authority, then therefore I know without a shadow of a doubt that that's the truth. So I don't have to ask God to please be with these people. I know he will, because I'm going to make intercession for them. And one of the greatest ways I can do it is I know I can speak in tongues, and I know that's perfect prayer. And whether I know, I don't even know their language. I don't even know their culture. I don't even know what they need. I don't know what they eat, any of these things. But I know I can make perfect intercession for them because I can pray in tongues for them. Sometimes I think about when we were talking about this, some of the people over the weekend that I've had spent some time with, you want to be careful about what your confessions are in your life. The world is so sneaky. We have so many of these sayings that we just say on a regular basis, and we just say them out just like that. We, you know, and sometimes I'll say them, And as soon as they leave my lips, I just want to grab it and pull it back, because I realize how not according to the word it is. And the more and more I do that, the more and more I get disciplined to not say those things. And then eventually what happens is I don't even think them anymore either. And that's when you know, when you're not even thinking them, that's when you know you're really tracking with the word and controlling your thoughts and your mind. Because the enemy doesn't want us to know who we really are. He doesn't want us to know what Jesus Christ knew in that scripture I just read to you, where he could have 72,000 angels at any time, that he could walk away from that situation and they would have absolutely no power against him. He doesn't want us to know that, the power that we have and who we are in Christ. And he doesn't want us to know the impact that we can make on the adversary's kingdom. Remember the impact? Kratos, you know, power with an impact. That word recently that Larry was teaching about is prosukumai, and that's from that prayer where the disciples said, you know, will you teach us how to pray? And the great thing about it is he went through and he showed some of these things. He showed us how it could be translated wish, more specifically, and if you'd like, you could listen to that teaching that he did, but I'm just going to jump right to it and not have to build up to it. It's more a vow. It's a vow that you're absolutely determined and that you set yourself apart and that you remain focused and sharp when you pray. You're ready for what God needs you to do, and you're sharp and you're ready to do that, and you stay and you vow. And you're determined to see that prayer come through all the way till there's power with an impact, till there's prevailing. And that's the great thing. You know, not just throwing up that prayer and then you just pray and you move on, but now taking it and focusing and saying, hey, when I pray, things happen. Just like Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ prayed, things happen. Every single one of us in this room can do that. We all have it. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit to pray for things to happen. The heart behind it, behind the prayers that you're asking, that you are asking your requests, you're absolutely set in your heart and in your mind that your prayer is coming to pass. Does that sound familiar? In James, and you don't have to go there, in James, in 5, it says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, when I first was talking about that one verse about you being evil, we already established that none of you are evil, right? Can we establish that all of you right now are righteous men? That you're faithful, righteous men? I would say so. You're here, right? And I'm thankful to see that. I'm thankful that I can come from Indianapolis and come to Pennsylvania, and I could see that there's other people like me that love God and that want to move His word and that want to be faithful men and women of power and prevailing power. It's really neat. So it's that effectual, that powerful, effectual prayer. There's a version here, it says, that has great power and produces wonderful results. Would you like to have great power and produce wonderful results? I think so, right? I do, and I want that for your life too. And I know you have it. The great thing about having authority, and let's go to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We should be strong. We should have all the enablements. We should learn how to utilize all the enablements so that we can have an impact all the way to prevail. All the armament, all the things that we learn in Ephesians, all those things, and like Larry was sharing, all nine manifestations. You know, sometimes we just stop at speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is a great thing. I mean, it's perfect prayer. But there's eight other manifestations. And to be proficient in all of those should be every single one of our goals. Every single one of them. In Ephesians 6, in verse 11, you might think that I was peeking at Larry's notes, but I wasn't. We were just kind of on this same wavelength here. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My goodness, I'm just going to stop right there for a second. Because I know I've talked to this with other believers. That's the hard part, isn't it? That's the hard one. Because it's just like in that play last night in Sights and Sounds, what did Jonah say? Oh, it's the people, right? And they take two steps forward and then they take two steps back. And then they waste my time and they waste my money. Remember that? So you could just get caught up in all that. Or you could read what the scripture says and obey what the word says and not wrestle against flesh and blood, because it's not the people. It's the spiritual realm against that are working against or in them or against them. Usually it's against them because until they invite them in. But the thing is, it's not flesh and blood. It's against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know the rulers of the darkness of the world, they can even rule, like we just heard, continents, and they just stay there. And just think about how familiar they are with those areas, you know? So they know the terrain a lot better than we do, but we outweigh them. There's no weight class. We're all heavyweights, you know? We by far outweigh them, you know? We have the whole armor of God, and we put it on, and we're given the authority to exercise it. That's the great thing. I've been in positions, and I know Larry shared this before, and probably a lot of us have experienced this. You know, when you're in a position and you work somewhere, and you're in a position of, and they give you a responsibility, and then they don't give you the authority to carry it out, that stinks, man. It's the most frustrating thing you could ever, one of the most frustrating things, because then you get blamed for what's not going right, but you weren't able to fix it because they gave you no authority. I mean, here's a great example. My brother's a retired police officer for New York City. He worked in New York City. He's now retired. He was a cop, and he wasn't allowed to arrest people until he called his sergeant and cleared it. Okay? His email was 20 and see ya. That was his email address, 20 and see ya, because he could not stand it. As soon as he hit his 20th year, yeah, he could have stayed, but he couldn't stand it because it's frustrating. But here's the thing. God gives us the authority, and he gives us a heart. He gives us a mind. He shows us his heart and word, and then we can make decisions, spiritual decisions, because we are spiritual men and women to be able to carry it out. He gives us the authority. It's so great. You know, in Luke, let's turn to Luke, and I'm going to read it while you're turning here, because I cheated and wrote all the verses down. See, I write it in 12 font, you know, so it's a little easier to read. And little by little, I think next time I'm going to go 14 font, you know, so it's the font's starting to get a little bigger. Luke 18, or 10:18, and he said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. This one he sent the apostles out, and he said, behold, I give unto you power. I gave you the authority, that word is exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power, the dunamis of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. These guys went out there and exercised the power. Could you imagine that the Secretary of State comes back and the president goes, great mission. As a matter of fact, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from the sky. Wouldn't that be terrific, huh? Wouldn't that be terrific? Hey, we can make intercession. We can believe for those type of people that will go overseas and represent this country and bring down lightning, just like these guys did. They went into foreign lands. They weren't natives of the places that they went to. They were allowed to, and they were given authority. When you have authority, you have the right to claim the word of God in that situation. When we wrestle not against flesh and blood, my wife and I, we've had some situations in our communities and different places, and this is where I show you a practical application of praying with authority. We were at a rally one time, and these people came, and they were in objection to what was going on in this rally. They didn't like it. They were in opposition, and they were dressed up and this was in the middle of summer. They were dressed up almost like Halloween characters. Like, they tried to make themselves look as ghoulish and goth, as nasty as they could, just to disturb the people in the crowd. And we were there with our children. This was a few years ago, so they were even younger. They're 11 and 8 now. And it wasn't anything that I wanted around my family. I just didn't want that. It disturbed us. It disturbed my children, and it disturbed my wife. So my wife just told them to leave. She just claimed in the name of Jesus Christ. She commanded, and we're going to see later on some of these things, she commanded those spirits that were working on those people to leave. And like 2 minutes later, they were gone. They left and never came back. Well, that's what I'm here to tell you. This is here what I'm trying to tell you, that we have that prayer with authority, that we have the authority to be able to do that. Not just we can read it off the pages and see Jesus Christ do it, but that word becomes living in our lives, that it becomes practical and it becomes part of you, part of your life. And on a regular basis, you start to do it. Remember I talked about how little by little, if you just start catching those thoughts and things, it will work. I promise, if you just do it. Just like Larry was saying, if you prayed for these things and you just commit to it, eventually you'll make it part of your prayer life. In 2 Corinthians, verse 10, again, you guys are going to think that I was peeking at Larry's notes. I wasn't. We were just on the same thoughts here. You know, he showed you this verse, for though you walk after the flesh, we do not walk war after the flesh, because it's in the same theme of that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we pull down these spiritual warfares. I'm going to read it in a different version here. For though we walk or we live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. You know? Mere human weapons. It doesn't work. You could throw sand in people's eyes all you want. I guarantee you're not going to win them to the Lord that way, right? It's not going to resolve the conflict. For the weapons of our spiritual warfare are not physical or weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrown and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive unto the obedience of Christ. And that's the Amplified. Because we're supposed to cast down these imaginations. There's another version in verse 6. It says we use these weapons against every rebel. Well, what are the rebels? If we are to cast down every imagination, everything that that all these thoughts and all these things, these strongholds and these things that we bring up and excuses we make in our minds to not follow through at the Word of God, the rebels are these thoughts, these rebel thoughts. Just get rid of them. They're just rebel. They're not logizomai, right? The word logizomai. They're not tracking with the Word. It's not logical according to the Word. We don't need all these big, we don't need these walls and these imaginations and things against us. We just tear them down. We can destroy them. And I like this word here. We can dethrone them. We can dethrone the kingdoms of this world because we have, don't you know that I could pray and that God will give me 72,000 angels? That's why we can dethrone them. We have preeminence over those things. You know, in John, we talked about John 4:4, and you all know this verse, so I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that word mega, it's really neat. The word mega, we outweigh them. We're bigger. We're stronger. In Matthew, let's go to Matthew 8. In Matthew 8 and verse 16, it says, and Jesus Christ said, when even was come, they brought him unto many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits and his word, with his word, and healed all that were sick. And it always amazes me when you see these verses of scripture here where Jesus Christ was ministering to people. So many times it says he healed all of them. All of them. He was pretty energized at that point. And just because sometimes there was multitudes of people and he just stayed and healed them all. It just shows me his love and compassion. It shows me how he was praying with authority. But then, of course, all of that power comes from the foundation is love. You know, just like we saw last night in that production, even though Jonah didn't want to, God wanted to. Even as evil as those people were, God wanted them to be delivered. You know, sometimes we have people in our lives that we just can't possibly think we could ever forgive them, right? They just have to. They've been so bad, they just have to suffer or whatever we want them to do, right? It's not according to us. It's according to God. It's according to his love. Just a side note here about what take your Bibles, just keep your finger there for a second and go to Hebrews. You know, when Larry was talking about Jonah and how that was his last prayer, that was his prayer just before he died in the well of the belly, how cool. Yeah, the belly of the whale. That's a good one, huh? When he died, just before he died, I just think about how much he knew, how confident he was in God, and how much he trusted God. It seems to be a theme because it reminded me of this verse in Hebrews 11. In verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promise offering, offered up his only begotten son, of whom was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Accounting, listen to this, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. So Isaac knew God would raise him from the dead. I mean, Abraham knew that Isaac could raise him from the dead. So he kind of was confused on what God actually wanted them to do, but he was obeying all the way through because he figured, hey, he'll just raise him up from the dead. And I just think of how Jonah probably knew that. He probably knew God would take care of him. He wasn't going to let him die. And it's just amazing how when you just start to believe and trust God to that point, no matter what the situation could be, and I'm thinking that being in the belly of a whale is a pretty dire situation, that you could still have that kind of confidence towards God, that you could pray with that kind of authority and know that you could make things happen. It's amazing. And then, of course, I have many scriptures here about where Jesus Christ sent them out, and they were able to clean out unclean spirits. But all of these scriptures are in with the word exousia in them. And you're all familiar with that Greek word. It means that the authority, that they had the authority. In Mark 1:27, I'll just read it to you. You can write it down. And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they did obey him," the unclean spirits. They never seen anybody like that. They saw unclean spirits, because we know that some of the Hebrews were able to cast the spirits out of people, but they didn't see it like this. They didn't see it with this kind of authority. They didn't see a guy stand up before him and say, "No, you're not coming to take me. You're not taking me. I am laying down my life for you. I can call 72 angels at any time at my beck and call. I have that kind of ability. I have that kind of authority and that kind of power." They've never seen that before. It's just it was new to them. And now, as believers in this day and age, in this administration, we can carry that out. Go to Ephesians. This verse right here, Ephesians, we all know this verse, but I call this the power verse because it has so many of those Greek power words in it. It's loaded with the power words. Ephesians, and I'm sure you know which one I'm going to, Ephesians 1:19. What is the exceeding, and that's hupobaleon, greatness. And that word greatness is a version of that word mega that Larry said. It's megathos. And I remember when I was teaching this one verse once in another subject of megathos. You know, I think of my son, he likes some Transformers. Wouldn't that be a cool name for a Transformer? I'm megathos, you know. You know those guys, what are they, Bumblebee and the other one? This one could be megathos. And what megathos means is spiritual, physical or spiritual greatness. And what great, exceeding greatness, megathos, with spiritual, physical and spiritual greatness, his power, dunamis, the potential power that you have to usward who believe according to the working, the energramata, that's an energized power, that's when it's in operation, of his mighty, iskuo, the ability to do it. So he gives us the power, he gives us the authority, he gives us the ability to do it. And finally, power. The power with an impact all the way till it prevails. We've had so many of these situations that we've been in, my wife and I, where we've just now learned so much about how we can live our lives and not be bugged by all these pesky bugs. You ever out in the country, like in a farmland, and it's, let's say it's August, it's like 95 or something, or, you know, in the 90s, and it is just humid, right? What's normally goes along with that when you're out in the country and gnats and, right? And you ever been in a place where, I know when I grew up, we used to go to Connecticut and there was gnats and they would just fly around your face constantly, right? And it hit you in the eye and hit you in the ear. And it was just a constant thing. And so you just sit there like this the whole time. You sit like this and no relief, right? They're just bugging you. That's what I think of sometimes. It gets like that sometimes. The adversary is just, these gnats are all around me and they're just bugging me. And then you ever see those commercials where they spray that spray and then they all just like, whoosh. And then there's a circle there where the spray was? That's the power of God, right? We just, when I walk into a room, I make it a practice when I go to places because I have the authority. Now, like in my children's sports arenas and things like that, we've paid to be part of that place. So I have the authority because they've given me authority. I'm part of that thing. I'm a coach sometimes. I have authority. I go in there and I just literally clear it out. So you think of those gnats just flying around you, bugging me, and then I just go, and I just clear them out because I don't want to be bugged by these pesky, squeaky little bugs, you know? I believe that I have that authority because I see what Jesus Christ did. Know you not that I could pray the Father? I just... blows me away that this guy just stood up there and he said, and I could bring down 72,000 angels. You know, people always think of Jesus as being such a weak, you know, and doormat. You know, he wasn't. You could see that. You could see the authority that he had. Jesus knew without a shadow of a doubt who he was, and that he had the power and authority to use, and he had the power and authority, and he had the power. He had the authority to use it. In John 5, yeah, I mean, when these things, when you go into situations and you see things and you feel a heavy heart, something, you just know it. We all have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We all can operate all nine manifestations. Listen, when you feel that stuff, it's discerning of spirits. You know something's there. Get it rid of it. Kick it out. And the great thing about it is you don't have to be perfect about it. You know how you start? Just experiment. I was telling somebody the other day, I was in the shower one time and I felt something heavy and I knew I could just cast. I casted it out. I got rid of it. And I knew if it looked stupid, that I was in the shower. Usually in the shower, nobody else is around, right? You guys got that point? So then if I look stupid, I look stupid, but nobody else could see it, right? So I experimented. And then I experimented a little more. And then it eventually I realized, this really does work, doesn't it? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And don't think you're going to look stupid or it's going to, and it might feel a little bit uncomfortable. You might feel a little odd. Do it. Do it. Don't let those situations, if you know, I just trust that God works in me and I trust that I know what to do. And then I trust that there'll be word of wisdom and there'll be word of knowledge. He'll show me what it is and he'll tell me what to do about it. And eventually I did. We were in a situation, it was another one of these sports situations, and it was a person, and it was a specific antagonistic person. And I just couldn't figure it out for the life of me, what was going on? Why was this happening? Why were we coming into this arena where we have these little second graders, and we're fighting battles of spiritual battles? Yeah, I just wanted to play basketball. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to play basketball. I didn't want to fight the adversary. But guess what? I'm in the spiritual arena. You're in it too. If you're in this world, it's there. So learn how to be to be on the upper hand. Learn how to outweigh it. Learn how to be the victor, the prevailer. So we finally figured it out, and we shut it down, and that was it. That's all we needed to do. It was comfortable in there. It was pleasant, and we won the championship. And all along, that other team that we was one of our nemesis, they beat us by just a little bit every time, but they would cheat, and they weren't following the rules. And every time I went to tell somebody in this quote-unquote church league that it was happening, they were being so benevolent and so kind. They didn't want to really cause any waves or anything like that, you know. So then every time I stood up, they gave me, don't, you know, the children are watching you. They'll see your example. And I was thinking, you know what? They're also seeing me not do what's right. I got to stand up and do what's right. They wrote the rules. I was following the rules. They weren't. So I had to finally stand up and say what was right. And we backed it down, and that's all that needed to happen. Now, that's basketball. I realize that. It's just a game. But I'm practicing. I'm still practicing. I'm still learning. I'm still experimenting. And just like we learned today, because it's about your life. So get good at it. Get good at it, because it means something. It can be very important to you at times. So get good at it. Experiment with it. Where did I say to go? John 5. Here he's saying that he could, you know, and then Jesus answered, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what the Father seeth, what he seeth the Father do. So whatsoever things he doeth the Son likewise." And then he talks about here that in verse 21, "For as the Father," here's another one, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Think that's boldness? You think that's confidence? You think that's prayer with authority that this man knows? He said, If God does it, I can do it, because God gave him the authority to do it. There's so many verses like this that where he gives them authority, and you can write down Mark 6, verse 7, where he gave them authority over unclean spirits. John 17, that whole chapter is amazing. But the first, yeah. But the first two verses there, where he gives them authority. You know, a little bit about this thing, this church stuff and stuff. You know, these people are just teaching people how to be losers. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. This benevolent stuff and this, you know, let's not make waves, and that's, you know, let's not tell people when they're off and when they're wrong and things like that. I don't mean being untactful jerk about it, but I'm saying, you know, the word says that we should reprove one another and show each other when the things are right. Because all we're showing our kids then is how to do things and just walk, you know, just when you see something that's not right, you walk away. And then when they get older and it becomes this type of thing where they learn how to walk spiritually, they're not going to do it. They're going to be too afraid. And they're going to walk away, and they're going to let it slide. I don't let it slide anymore. And I'm not, remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not about people. It's about spiritual realm. And then they never want to mention anything about spirits. Holy cow, me and Larry just talked about devil spirits here this morning, you know. And, you know, they don't ever want to talk about any of that stuff. They're afraid. Part of the reason why they're afraid to talk about any of those things is because they don't have the answers. So they're afraid to even bring it up, because then you're supposed to be the pastor of this church. You're supposed to give me answers, and they don't have any answers to it, so they don't want to bring it up. So then they just sweep it all under the rug, and then everybody lives, what's this? All over you. And you just live that way, and people just, they're just, they just, you know, temporary relief here and there, but they don't get the relief that they need. Let's help people. Let's learn it for ourselves, and then we can help people and get people delivered so that they don't have to live that way anymore. They don't deserve it. You know, it says that the adversary strikes with a continuous stroke, and he hurts the righteous, and they don't deserve it. Sometimes you think, what did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? You didn't do anything wrong. It's not that you were evil or that you were bad. It's because he's so bad. Just remember that so you don't condemn yourself. There's no condemnation. You know, we talk about asking prayer in Matthew 21 and 22. You know this verse where it says that, you know, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe, and it shall be, and you shall receive it. The word ask is more of a demand. We have to get to the point where we can command and demand what we want in our lives in the spiritual realm. I'm not talking about demanding God to do something, because you know why it's not that? Because he already gave you the authority. He already gave you the authority. All you're doing is doing what he said to do. It's like the example that Larry, in his teaching, he said that on the bill, you silver certificate, it used to say that you get the silver on demand. You know, give me my money, damn it. You go into the bank, you know, you give me my money, damn it. You just ask for them, right? It's on demand. This stuff is on demand. And it's already given to you. You're not being, your relationship with God it's not hurt or anything when you demand something, because like I said, he gave you the authority to be able to do it. It's just like when you go into the bank and you have $100 in the bank and you just go up to the teller and you give her your deposit slip or your withdrawal slip and you say, hey, can I have the money? It's right there. It's no sweat. That's what it's like when we ask. When we ask in prayer, we have to be able to pray. No more of these anemic prayers, you know, please be with these people or anything like that. Or if it's your will. I already know it's your will. I already know it's his will. I'm going to go ahead and claim it. I'm going to command in the name of Jesus Christ because I have that authority and I have that power. I just want to close with this verse here. Matthew 26:25, it says, again, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and that he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 72,000 angels. We can pray with that kind of authority. We can pray with that kind of power. I exhort you to learn how to do that. I exhort you to practice it. I exhort you to go ahead and step out with boldness and try it and experiment with it, and you'll see. You can pray with authority. Thank you.